As we began last week and looking at the 8th chapter of the book of Luke, hope you have your Bibles, you'll turn with me there. I reminded you that the theme of chapter 8 probably can be wrapped up in one verse that Paul has recorded in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. We're going to kind of get into that a little bit further now as we talk about Luke chapter 8. Remind you that chapter 8 is divided into the first section, which is hear the word, and the second section, which is believe the word. I heard a preacher say one day, there's a lot of people who say they believe that word who haven't heard a word that Jesus has said. And he's referring to the way they live their life or the actions they take, how they treat people. But here in Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 8, we're going to talk about the idea that whoever has ears to hear. Now we think that's talking about this, but what Christ is talking about is the openness to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Whoever has that spirit within them, that openness, that brokenness, that willingness, that desire, whoever has that, that they should listen closely to what God's word is saying and stop listening to the world. Stop listening to what's happening around us. Because the kingdom of God is the central theme of everything that Jesus Christ came to say and do and experience with others while he was here those 30 some odd years with us. It was the central theme. The kingdom of God is more than what we can see with our eyes. It's not the kingdom of God is not all these church buildings that are amassed all around the world, literally. It's not about that at all. The kingdom of God's made up of a system of life that's different than the system of the world. We have worldly values. We have worldly systems. But the kingdom of God is none of those things at all. It's different. The kingdom of God is just plain different than anything else. And the kingdom of God can only be entered into one way. So let's put the faith that comes by hearing up. And hearing by the word of God. Jesus said that. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but through me. That's the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we have to get across to the whole wide world. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13 that we got to enter through the narrow gate. There's only one narrow gate. There's only one way to heaven. He said, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many enter through that gate because it's easy. It's simple. It's there. You can see it. But the narrow gate of Christ is very, very, very different. Now, this is a parable that we're going to read. It's a parable that depends on what the preacher is focusing on. It usually depends on how they name it. It's the parable of the four soils. It's the parable of the sower. It's the parable of the seed that's sown. One preacher even called it the parable of the fields of life. And he may have been more like what ought to be thought about because it has a lot of things. Some people believe that this parable that we're going to read is all about evangelism. Some people believe it's all about the responses to the evangelism. But I want to tell you today that, and I'm coming from the perspective that this is about the kingdom of God itself. I remind you that Jesus said not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's not a happy thought. That's not a happy feeling. I remind you, Billy Graham once said a vast majority of people whose names are on church rolls will probably die and go to heaven. You know that we have nearly 800 names on our church roll? Well, where are they? What are they doing? Well, we hope that somewhere, somehow, some way, they're in worship or will be soon. So if you have your Bible, let's turn to Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. All right, it begins by saying, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told them this parable. Now, I want to point out to you something very interesting about that. People were coming and going. from town to town, from village to village. They were coming and going. Jesus didn't set an appointed time, 10:15 on Sunday morning. We were going to have a few announcements and a call to worship, and then we're going to have the orchestra play, and we're going to pray a little bit, and then I'm going to speak. That's not what was happening here at all. It says, while all that's happening, Jesus told this parable. His whole lifestyle was a lifestyle of telling parables, teaching in the synagogue, raising the dead, healing the sick, over and over and over again. He never stopped telling them about the kingdom of God. Now, here's the parable. He said, a farmer went out to sow his seed. It's that time of the year. I've noticed people are beginning to turn over their gardens, till up their ground. One man who's built a house on LeCroy Road has now brought in, he's like our house we're building. He's got a great crop of red mud. You know, I think it came from Georgia. You know, they taxed them to death in Georgia, and the red mud came up here. That's what happened. Well, what he's done is he's preparing the soil, and he's done something to that, and then he's brought in topsoil, and now he's thrown out his seed, and he's covered that with something to keep it from blowing. He's preparing the soil. He's preparing. The farmer went out to sow his seed, preparing his soil, sowing his seed. And he was scattering the seed everywhere. Some fell along the path. It was trampled on. The birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground. And when it came up, the plants withered because there was no moisture. There were no roots and all of that. Some seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked out the plants. And still others. Other seed fell on the good soil, and it came up. It yielded a crop, not just any crop, but 100 times more than was sown. And that's our goal. That's our purpose. That's our desire if we're preaching about evangelism, if we're preaching about responses. But we're looking at it today from the kingdom of heaven. And so when he had finished telling that story, that parable, when he had said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear. Everybody's got a couple of ears on their head. That's not what he's talking about. If you have a heart that's open, a mind that's willing, the Spirit of God is there and you're listening, he says, let them hear. Now, the word hear doesn't just mean hear the words. The word hear means respond to and obey. Change your lifestyle. Make a difference with what you now have learned and go forth so others will see it and hear it also. It's a great, great thing. I want to kind of focus on the seed that is the Word of God and give you 4 words this morning that describe what this Word is that reflects on the kingdom of God. And I got it not from Ken Reed, not from some theologian. I got it from the Word of God. Number one, the Word of God is powerful. Hebrews 4:12, you've heard it many times. For the Word of God is, and King James says, quick and powerful. The New International Version says, God, the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it, the King James says, piercing deep within. It says penetrating even to the dividing of our soul and our spirit, our joints and our marrow. It judges the thoughts and our attitudes of the heart. It is that's what God's Word does. It's so powerful that it can do the very thing that we don't know how to do ourselves. And that is to search the deep inner spirit of our soul. I'm reminded of so many that I've seen who've died. I'm reminded of standing by their casket and knowing that they're no longer here. That's just the body. That's just what the Bible says is our earthly temple. Because who they were in life is gone. It was their soul. Their soul has entered the kingdom of God if they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so the Word of God is powerful enough to search our hearts and souls if we will allow, have ears to hear the Holy Spirit to work in us and let us know what God is saying that day. Number two, it's revealing. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed. King James says it's inspired by God himself and is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness. Not in the ways of the world, but in righteousness. And that's what God's word teaches us about. So that the servant of God, and there's a key where you could preach on that right there forever. The servant of God. Are we really servants of God, or are we serving ourselves? Are we doing our own thing? Are we abiding in ourselves? So that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And the good work there is that which points toward the kingdom of God, points toward the glory of God, points toward Jesus Christ, and not anything we've ever said or done or will in this life. So it's powerful and it's revealing, but it's also the word of God that points to the kingdom of God is enlightening. My favorite verse, of course, is Matthew 5:16. It's one of my favorite verses. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works, give glory to your Father which is in heaven. But in Psalm 119:105, it tells us that your word, God, is a lamp unto my feet and it's a light unto my path. It helps me understand where I am and where I need to go. It shows me where I'm standing and where I need to be walking. It helps me to make it through this life when things aren't good, when things aren't fun, when things don't go my way, when I'm hurt. Or when I'm sick, when I'm down, when somebody's offended me, when somebody's hurt my feelings. The Word of God enlightens me to the truth and the power that God's Word tells me about the kingdom of God. The fourth word is the word compelling. James 1:22. Do not just listen to the Word. You hear that? Don't just listen to the Word. Don't just read over it every now and then. He says, do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. You could quote this book from front to back. The Pharisees could quote their Old Testament first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the Torah. They could quote it. He says, don't merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do it. Do the word. Be the word. Be the word in the world that doesn't abide by it. Even when they reject it, you accept it and lift it up. So I'm going to ask you a question. If you're going to do what it says, what does this word compel us now to do? Four verses of scripture kind of simplify it for me. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ, the word of God, dwell within me. You got to meditate on it. You got to think about it. You got to pray over it. You got to listen to it. You got to have the Holy Spirit opened ears to understand what it's saying for it to dwell in you, or it'll just bounce off of you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. James 1:22 that I read earlier says, be doers of the word. Who'd you forgive this week? Who did you turn the other cheek to when they slapped you? That's doers of the word. That's what Jesus said. That's not what Ken Reed said. It's not what Charles Stanley said. It is what God said. Are you caught up in some kind of hatred towards somebody? Oh, man, are we tempted to do that? Because we're tempted to be right, think we're right. But Jesus said, no, that's not the way it is. The third word, Psalm 119:11 comes after that word in verse 5, 105 that says, your word is a light to my feet and a lamp to my path. In verse 11, it says, thy word have I hidden in my heart. I need to hide his word in my heart. Why? So that I can show off when I can quote scripture. That's not what it says. It says that I might not sin against God. We are living in a sinful world. We are being bombarded by every median available to cause us to turn our backs on the Word of God. To deny that God even exists. And to ignore just simple things. I'm sorry, it doesn't take a rocket science for scientists to explain to me that if I have a newborn baby and I can look at his naked body, I can tell the difference between a man and a woman. But we got a world that tells us, oh, no, they get to decide later. No, God decided a long time before we were even created. From the creation of the world, what we are. And then finally in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2, it says, preach the word. And as one preacher says, sometimes open your mouth. Because a lot of us open our mouth and we're doing anything but preaching the word. We're gossiping. We're slandering. We're hurting people with our lies, our half-truths. We're not preaching the word. We're preaching something else. But the Bible says, preach the word. Preach it. Preach it, brother. Preach it, sister. Sometimes use words, but let your life so shine. Let your life and light so shine before men that they see your good works. And it doesn't matter where you sow this seed. Doesn't matter how you sow this seed. It doesn't matter where the seed that you sow goes, where it falls. But the soil in the kingdom of God represents four words about us, about people who may or may not be members of the kingdom of God. The scripture says some of it fell by the wayside, some by the path side. And what happened to it when it got scattered over there? It got stepped on, crushed on, and it was eaten by birds. I call them the superficial Christians. They never really got started. They never really had a chance. The devil was so caught up in their life that they couldn't tell the difference between right and wrong. As one preacher, I saw this from another, he said, they're just punching a time clock. You know, I grew up in the grocery business, and we saw lots of people come through Park and Shop in Charlotte, North Carolina, during those days of its heyday. And there were many people who just punched a clock, hit that time clock, and find a place to hide. But there was always those who would hit the time clock running. And it didn't matter if they were what we call J2, which was our janitor, or if they were J20, or J21 was our bottle racker. Remember the days when you had to bring your bottles back and get your deposit back so you bought more bottles and you had to pay a deposit? Well, we had to have somebody, especially on Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays, that's all they could do because people were bringing them back by the tons, by the truckloads. Didn't matter. There were some of those guys that could rack bottles and sing. There were some guys that just broke bottles. What are you? Now think about it. If you had to spend about 6 hours of your day messing with bottles, putting them in the right cartons, getting them in the right, it's a mundane job. Could you sing about it? A lot of people are just hitting the clock as Christians. Just enough to get by, to let the world pretend. Distracted, confused, and lost. Superficial. The second one, they said the seed was sown on the among the rocks. These are the ones I call the shallow Christians. It came up real quickly, but the scripture says it withered and died because there was no moisture. Why was there no moisture? Because the rocks were so thick it couldn't break through the rocks to get down to the soil to suck up some water and then to get some nutriment so that it could be nourished and grow. It didn't spend time in the Word. Didn't even get started in the Word. We've had, since I've been here, I think I counted 6 people that joined this church one Sunday and have never been back. What's that all about? Well, it was sown on the rocks. They didn't get involved. They didn't look for how to get into the fellowship, which is part of the church itself. They were a flash in the pan. but they were never taught because they didn't want to be taught the Word of God. The third group is the ones where it fell among thorns. I call these the sad saps of the church and the world. Fell among thorns. What happened when it fell among thorns? It got choked out. I started watching Homicide Hunter. We record them, and it's Lieutenant Joe Kenda. I was watching an episode, and he made this comment about this wannabe gang member. He was not a gang member, but he wanted to be a gang member. And he talked like he was a gang member. He pretended like he was a gang member. And he committed a horrible crime. He killed someone. And Joe Kenda said, he was a teenager. He said, every teenager is alike. But he said this, they're looking for love in all the wrong places. Think about what we do here, Mark Club, Bible Quest, Youth Group, Good News Club, now Girl Scouts. If they're not getting it at home, they need to find it in the church, in the body of Christ. Because the world is choking them out. He said all that guy's looking for, and he's accepted in a gang, sort of, because he's not finding that love somewhere. Do we have the love of Christ within us, oozing out of us? Are we reaching out? That's why I try to just love on the children. Olivia came over, and she was standing. I said, what are you doing in my seat? She said, standing. You know, we were talking and everything. Well, she went off. And then next thing I know, Betsy sees her. She comes back, and she just put her arms around Betsy's waist. That's what? That's that love that all people need, all people want. If you're either a repellent or you're an attraction. We have this thing we use in bees. And when it comes time to draw honey, you go, well, how do you get the bees off the cones of honey? You put this nasty smelling repellent in there and they go down. They get away from it. Is that my life as a Christian? When you walk in the door, does the lights go out or does the band start playing? I heard a preacher, an evangelist say life is too short to be too serious. I guess I'm too silly sometimes, but look, life is, I had three different people. It was interesting. I think God did this. Coming out of choir, I had three different, how'd your week go? I said, fast. Now, I could have moaned about all the things that went wrong this week, but I decided to be good. Say, man, it went fast. It was Monday, and next thing I knew, it was Friday. Whew. And I told Alan, he was one of them, and I said, and there's an old sermon, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. An old black preacher preached it originally, and every time he said, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming, it got a little bit louder, and a little bit louder. It's Friday, and by halfway through, the congregation got into it, and the preacher got to the end, he said, but it's Friday, and they said, it's Sunday's coming, and Jesus is coming too. And we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. And the love of Christ needs to be coming out of us. Somebody bumped me in the hall because they didn't like me. And he bumped me in the hall and pushed me out of the way in his mind. I thought, what is that all about? Where is the love of Christ? We're singing about the resurrection of Jesus. And we're acting like the devil. And we got to stop doing that. God doesn't get pleased by that kind of attitude and action in our lives. I'm not going to use those illustrations. I've already said enough. Working up a sweat. Doing devotion. I'm in a group, band of brothers. It's four of us. We meet every Wednesday morning. The first part of that is meeting to eat. But we talk about things, and three of us are going through next steps. Now, I'm 66 years old. Why should I be going through next steps? Because I'm not through growing. I'm not through learning. I'm not through finding out what God's got to do in our lives. And so I'm at a point now that I have these daily devotions that I'm supposed to be going through. And this week, one of them was a reminder of John 15:5. Can anybody quote it? You remember it? You know where I'm at? I am the vine. You're the branches. You know how we live it? I'm the vine, and you the branches, and I'm cutting you off. That's not Jesus. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. And if you abide in me and I abide in you, you know what it says that comes next? You will bear much fruit. Everybody bears fruit. Everybody bears fruit. One of those illustrations talks about tomato plants. I've planted tomato plants many years, and see those things blossoming on the vine and get ready to go out there to pick them, and on the bottom it's got black rot. Something in the soil didn't fix with that tomato. It didn't have the roots and the nourishments that it needed to grow and be what I wanted it to be and what we know a tomato is supposed to be like. It's the same way in the church, the kingdom of God. If we're not grounded in God's word so that it makes a difference in our lives, we'll have black rot at the bottom. So I close with the beginning. It said, Jesus, while large crowds were gathering and many were coming from town to town, he told a parable. He was sowing the seed. Some fell by the wayside and was stepped on and taken away by birds. Some fell on the rocky soil and never got started the way it should have got started. Some fell among thorns and was choked out by the world. But some had the spiritual ears in the kingdom of God to hear what he was saying, and they received it. And today they're growing in Christ. And by the way, you never stop growing. Because if you think you have arrived, son, daughter, you're wrong. That's why I'm keep growing, keep reading, keep drawing. On the day of the crucifixion, there was only a handful left. Now, the good news is that Christ came to them. Christ came to them and showed his love to them after the resurrection. And he said to him, I'm still called you to be fishers of men. I've still called you to stand up in the kingdom of God and to be my representative. And I still love you. And he still loves us. It doesn't matter how bad we've been. It doesn't matter how far we've gone. It doesn't matter how many thorns we've lived among. God so loved the world that he gave himself for us, that whosoever believeth should not perish but have everlasting life. And his extension, it comes out here today. To the saved and to the lost in our lives. Jesus knew some would fall on good ground. He knew. And he hoped and prayed they all would in our lives. What about you? Let's pray. Father, as we stand here today, as we sit here today, as we hear words, it's not my words that make a difference. It's your word that you want us all to hear. The old phrase, Lord, preaching to the choir, I was preaching to me. I wasn't preaching to anybody but me today. Forgive me. Now use me. And just in case, Lord, someone else was being spoken to, forgive them too. And use us all for the kingdom of God, we pray. Amen. At the cross, where I first saw the light, the burdens of my heart rolled away. I hope that's the right song. It's the one that led me to it. Come to the cross. You don't come to Ken. You don't come to Ray. You don't come to the altar. You come to Jesus that died on the cross. So let's stand and let's sing this one. Like we mean it with all of our hearts. Let's stand. If God's spoken to you, respond. I heard somebody say one time, we'll all have disappointments. We'll all be discouraged from time to time. What we do with the disappointments and the discouragements say more about us than the person who hurt us or disappointed us. So let's be very careful that no matter what happens, we have the heart, mind, soul, spirit of Christ within us because we've had the spiritual ears to hear Him speak through us. Let me stop right there. I'm not paying attention. Let me present to you, Jennifer comes today, joining our church by statement, and I want to hear a motion to receive her, and a second, and all God's people said,
amen.
And we welcome. We love you. Get up here and stand with your mama. Come by and rejoice in the fellowship. Okay, now let's pray. I do thank you, Father. You have blessed us. I rejoice in you. I give you thanks for loving and forgiving. Thank you for Jennifer. And Lord, she's a much part of this church and has been as anybody else. But we're grateful for her and the witness and the joining. And thank you for your love and mercy. Now bless us as we together serve you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.